Blog Talk Radio.
The Job Coach is back. Employment expert and career professional Laverne Freeman is back to help you find your next job or career path. Are you stuck in a job you hate? Is there a future for you in another organization, but you're too afraid to make that move? What is your risk factor in taking on a new assignment in your organization that might require you to risk the creature comfort that you're currently enjoying? And what if you're over 50 and suddenly you find yourself out of work and competing with professionals half your age? If we've hit your hot button, today's show is definitely for you. And we'll also share some tips that will help you stay sane and financially afloat during the holiday season. This is Carol Copeland-Thomas, and you're listening to Focus on Empowerment. Hello, my friends. This is Carol Copeland-Thomas. Thank you so much for joining us. We're out and about here in Boston. It's a nice, brisk day. No snow, thank goodness, but certainly winter is on its way. Earlier this week, we had a very powerful webinar. This is part of our Multicultural Symposium Series webinar, a monthly webinar program that we have. Sandra Finley was our special guest. She is the executive director and longtime advocate organization called the League of Black Women that's based in the Chicago area. And she had some very interesting statistics talking about black women rising voices in America, in the American society. We had probably 30 people on the line, the most I've had with the webinars that I have actually conducted over the years, and they were from all over the United States, not just women, but men as well. And it was just a very insightful day. We're going to go back and look at some of the data. We encourage you to go to the website and join the Multicultural Symposium Series. If you weren't a part of the webinar, you can join. It's a very low cost, $99, and we give you a lot of value. You have a chance to come to our conference that we just had. You get discounted prices at the Black History Breakfast in February, and also these monthly webinars that are featuring some incredible people like Sandra Finley. You can go to www.msscom, that's mssconnect.com. That is for the Multicultural Symposium Series. Sign up, become a member, participate, and you'll actually learn an incredible amount of information. Our next webinar will take place on Tuesday, December 3rd. I think it's a Tuesday, but it's definitely December 3rd. And we're featuring one of our speakers from the Multicultural Conference who lives at the very opposite side of the state of Massachusetts. Gwendolyn Van Zandt is her name. She is the co-founder and the executive director of Multicultural Bridge, a wonderful organization, and there's a lot of diversity in multiculturalism in that part of the state. She's going to share with us her knowledge, what's going on out there. If you live in a very urban area, no matter what the state happens to be, and you wonder, is there diversity in other parts of my state, you may want to pay attention to this show. So it's going to be just nonstop information, insight, and a way for you to understand diversity from many, many different sides. I would encourage you to go on to the website and sign up, become a member, and participate to your heart's content. Well, we're going to talk about jobs. And we're going to talk about how you can impact your life by getting either a better job or leveraging the job that you have. Part of my kitchen cabinet leadership team, long-time veteran in terms of this subject. She has owned her own firm. She's been involved in employment issues for many, many years, and she's a great friend. Laverne Freeman, welcome back. Glad to have you back on.
Thank you, Carol. I'm glad to be back.
Super. I know we have people participating on and off. There were a couple of people who couldn't make it today. I know they're going to download this show for their own benefit. Well, I want to start off with a friend of mine who I will not name, but he's well over 50 years old. And suddenly, last summer, he found he was out of work. company closed up shop. He was out of work, and I don't think there was much of a severance package either. So he could either sort of cry in the soup and cry the blues, or would stay on unemployment for a number of months or whatever, go on vacation, which I know some people do. He rolled up his sleeves and he went to work. He didn't take any vacations. He was networking everywhere, and he landed a very good job with a large organization. So this is an example of someone who is not letting grass grow under his feet. He's moving on. What are you seeing with people, particularly those, Laverne, who are over 50, who suddenly find themselves out of work or the job that they're in just is not materializing the way it should be? What are you seeing with those kind of individuals, and what kind of advice can you share with them?
Well, what I'm seeing, Carol, is that a lot of people, and we say over 45 usually, 45, 50, 55, they lack the skills in the networking department and the social media. I actually give advice every day. I see them every day, and first thing I ask, are you on LinkedIn? And they go, no, or I just don't know how, or they act like it's really something that's foreign, or they're afraid of it, or they act like, you know, I'm taking their first or last born. They don't want any parts of it. And then when you have, I say, what about networking? They freeze. They like, what do I do? What do I say? So I find that a lot. And then I mention job fairs, and I get the same results. So I find that a lot, and I actually have to start from the beginning of why that's important to network, why it's important to be on LinkedIn, how to work a job fair. We've even done that. I get that so much that we at Operation Able, we are actually doing workshops on how to use LinkedIn, how to network, and actually how to work a job fair. Because I'm finding in these age groups, they just don't know, and they want no part of it.
And what I'm hearing, and this is really particularly apropos, because there is no guarantee now that you can retire at age 60, 55, 65, and live happily ever after. For a lot of people who may be retiring or thinking about retiring, they're having to go back to work. So keeping up with these kind of social media skills are extremely important. I've been on LinkedIn for 6 years and use it very actively, even though I'm an entrepreneur. Why is LinkedIn so important? And you're obviously advising your clients to do so as well, Laverne.
Because on LinkedIn, and I have nothing against Monster, nothing against Career Builder, nothing against any of those other forms, and they have their purposes, Indeed.com, and they all serve a good purpose. But I got this job here through LinkedIn. More and more people are posting jobs on LinkedIn. More people are networking through LinkedIn. It's a much larger audience. You can have the premium package where you can send in mails and people will answer you. I join groups of people on LinkedIn, and I can get information back in a very short amount of time. I can find people I'm looking for. I can link into people that know someone that I need to know and have them introduce me. So LinkedIn is one of the most valuable tools out there, and I use it all the time.
So it's very important. You got your job with Operation Able through LinkedIn. I've been on LinkedIn 6 years. Absolutely, and thank you very much. No disrespect for Monster Worldwide. They are my clients, so definitely want to give them
no
a big
disrespect.
Plug.
No.
Right. But what you're saying is that you have to look at different platforms when you are looking for employment. And that is so true, because when I think about this gentleman, he did not use just one source to find a job. He made sure he was spread in the right direction. And as a result of that, he got another job. Now, what about someone who is maybe frustrated in their job? They don't see a long-time future in terms of a higher career possibility within an organization. What advice would you share with them, Laverne?
Well, I would tell them to actually go to do their homework first. Go to the websites of other companies that they need to pinpoint. Go to the companies that they actually are interested in. Go to their website, do their homework, do their research, and look at the job. See a job, pinpoint the jobs that they're actually interested in. They need to go to some job fairs with a pinpointed job in mind. They can apply online before they go to the job fair, because that's the first thing a company is going to ask you: have you applied online? Apply online. It's no problem taking your resume in and your cover letter, but you need to know how to work a job fair. But you also need to do your homework on the companies and make sure that the company, what they're looking for, make sure that it's what you're looking for, but you need to do your homework. You need to constantly be looking for your next opportunity, really, because you never know what's going to happen next, who's going to merge, who's going to move someplace, who's going to offshore your job. So you should be constantly networking and looking at the next opportunity. You really should always be doing that.
Well, you know, that's great advice, and I'm going to also throw something in there. Be mindful of the circles of influence that you are populating within your organization, because you can be so closely aligned to one person who, for the in the order of the day, is doing very well, doesn't necessarily give you a lot of credence in terms of where you need to go next. Or they can get bounced from the company. I know someone in a very senior level out of his organization, and it hurts my soul that that's happened. So you have to be careful, again, how you populate your people. Any thoughts about that?
Well, you definitely have, especially if that person is your mentor. I mean, you have to always, when I was in business for myself and someone was, I thought they might be leaving or moving on, you've got to make sure you're introduced to the next person, or you have your alliances in place down the line for the next person, so that you're not so closely glued to that one person who's your mentor that you can't accept somebody else coming into that space. Because a lot of times when your mentor is bounced out, you're bounced out also. So you've got to be constantly aware of what's going on in your surroundings. Read the newspaper, read the Wall Street Journal, look at the news, know what's actually going on within the company. A lot of people don't know that.
Right, right. So, again, I mean, the rules of the old days, you know, where you could learn, somebody would take care of you, they would help you out or whatever, those rules have changed quite a bit dramatically, and you really have to take control of your own career path. That is just so, so important. I want to ask you also about those, and I know that we have some friends who are listening and those who have taken risks in the past and are looking at, you know, the risk factor. Sandra Finley, who was my webinar guest the other day, had a wonderful study, and part of the study talked about African-American women being willing to take risks, but in many cases not necessarily having a sponsor, and she has statistical information to back this up, not having a sponsor to help them move along in a company. A mentor is someone who could give you advice and counsel. A sponsor is somebody who rolls up his or her sleeves and really helps you to get that next job physically and with their own influence, helps you to get the job that you're looking for. What's your advice for someone who may be in a position but is a little bit cloudy about who they can look and identify as a sponsor within their company, Laverne Freeman?
Well, I can tell you that for black women, she's exactly right. It's very, very difficult to find a sponsor. You can find a mentor. Finding a sponsor is a whole different avenue altogether. A lot of times I myself had to go outside of the company to find a sponsor that was not really affiliated with that company or that was retired from that company but still had a lot of influence, someone who was maybe on the board of directors. I had that would be a sponsor, and this is back in the old days. We had organizations, and I won't call them clubs, I'll call them organizations that you could join, that you could seek out a sponsor. Finding a sponsor is important, but I can tell you it's a very difficult task. You've got, for a black woman, it's very, very difficult. And you have to work. It's very, extremely hard. I found a couple in my day, but I tell you, I had to really work at it, because the sponsor also has to be somebody you can trust at all levels.
Right.
And it's
very
difficult. I mean, it's just hard work. I don't know. There's no magic button to push or no magic word. Finding a sponsor, I can name a dozen black men that have found sponsors. We used to call it a poster child. That's the word we used to. That was the buzzword we used to use way back in the day. And it's very difficult for a black woman to get to be someone's poster child or have a sponsor. But it can be done.
And again, we don't want to discourage anyone, but just trying to be real. This is a real reality based show.
The reality of it.
Right, so that you can use that, and then your game, so that if you realize things are going to be more challenging based on your career path and whatever career you're in, you want to be more challenging. Another thing I wanted to ask you, what about the snipers inside your company? Now, you know what I'm talking about, Laverne. Those are the people who are just nipping at your heels. They are, I call them frenemies. They are not friends. They are really not on your side. How do you handle the frenemies in your organization?
Well, as long as you know who they are not a threat to you. And that's how I've always handled those people. As long as I know who they are, it's the people that you don't know, those are the threats. But if you know who those frenemies are, they are not a threat to you. You don't, you know, you keep them right in your sight. You don't let them get too close. But you always, you know which side they're going. You know what they're going to do. You know what they're going to do behind your back. They're really not that hard. It's the people that you don't know, Carol, that are sticking the pins and needles in your back. Those are the people that you have to watch out for. The frenemies have not been a problem to me, because I know who they are. I mean, I'd never let them in on what I'm doing or how I'm going. I only tell them what I want somebody else to know or whatever. But those people are not that hard to read, because they're going to do the same things all the time to try to hurt you, try to get back at you. They're not on your side, so you know that. So you know where they're coming from at all times. Frenemies never, I've had dozens of those, they never really bother you, because you know where they're coming from. You know, they're not your friends.
Yeah. What about someone where you're working for a great company, and the principles of the company, the diversity principles, whatever they happen to be, are plastered everywhere. So there is a general notion and an awareness level of how progress and promotability and equality is practiced within this organization, this company. But for whatever reason, your particular boss is a stick in the mud. How do you deal with your boss if he or she is a stick in the mud, and if their brick wall or whatever facade they have up is not necessarily impenetrable, but making it difficult for you to proceed and do well in your company? Laverne?
Well, what I've always done in that is I try to get the heck out of their way, because they're not going to get out of your way. I've had that happen to me from early on when I worked at an organization, a huge organization, and I did my best work to get out of their way, to get promoted, to go around them, to get new opportunities. I've even taken classes called I'm Okay, You're Okay, to learn how to deal with those situations. But my idea was, okay, this person is not really going to go anywhere, and this person is doing all they can do right now, and they're, like, in my way. So I did everything I could to either get moved out of their way, get to another position, go around them, over them and to move myself out of their way. I didn't let them block me from the goal that I had. But it wasn't that hard looking back on it now, but I had to go take some classes, go to school to find out how to deal with people that were really blocking me from my goals, especially when they were my boss, my immediate supervisor. And at some point, two or three of those people end up working for me because I got around them and out of their way because they were blocking me from every opportunity that came through that organization. So I had to work and get out of their way.
And clearly, if you're with a smaller organization, nonprofits function like this where they're just a handful of employees, if you find that your boss, and you're working for this company, and your boss is just really a stick in the mud, you really have to gauge, A, is there really a future for you in this company?
Of course.
Are there opportunities that will present themselves going forward so that you can move around or move through this boss? And then C, perhaps you can leverage the job and go to another position. What advice would you share? This is just my advice.
In a case like that, sometimes you can find a hole in the organization where you could write your own job description and create another position for yourself that's away from this person that's your boss, that's a stick in the mud in a smaller company. And I have friends who've done that. They've actually written a job description. They saw a hole in the company where they could easily fill it in and you could do a lot of good. And they've written a job description to move them to another position that wasn't so much dependent on the boss that they had. And that's a smaller company. And, yeah, smaller company, you have to be very creative. A larger company is a lot easier to do. But, yes, it can be done.
Great advice. Now, we have some who are listening in the chat room, some who will download the show later on, who are either they flirted with entrepreneurship, they have been an entrepreneur in the past, but they're really seriously looking at it going forward. You've been an entrepreneur. You know what it's like out here. Can you give advice to those in terms of how do they leverage their current job if entrepreneurship is really on the horizon for them?
Well, I can tell you this, that at Operation Able in March the 27th, I believe, we're doing an SBA. It's called Encore. It's called Encore Entrepreneurship. We're doing an SBA presentation of becoming an entrepreneur, and we're also going to have workshops where you'll get an overview of how to do your business plan, how to do your financing, is this a good idea, whatever. So that's one thing you can do is come to our event here on the 27th.
Right.
But you really need to know if this is something you love doing, and second, if you can make money at it. It's all about if you can make a living doing it and if you love doing it. You've got to have those two things have got to be your two priorities. You've got to love what you're doing and you've got to be able to make a living at it. Those are the top two things because you've got to love it because you're going to be with it. It's going to be your life. It's going to be your baby. And you've got to enjoy doing what you're doing.
Right. Good advice. And again, I would strongly urge those in the greater Boston area to check out Operation Able on the 27th of March and go to that presentation. And you have so many other resources within your organization, too.
Yes,
another
we do.
Another one is I would suggest that those of you, no matter where you live in the United States, is to check out your local SCORE office, that Service Corps of Retired Executives. It's part of the federal government. It's part of SBA. So wherever an SBA office is in your part of the country, check out SCORE. You can get free advice from these wonderful individuals who have run businesses. They can give you firsthand knowledge of what it takes, and then you can explore your parameters within your particular marketplace. In closing, you've given us great advice today, Laverne. What can you share with us? We're entering into the holidays. For some people, this can be very stressful in terms of finances. Maybe some folks are, maybe they're on a new job or their money doesn't sort of match the expenses at the end of the month. What can you share with our listeners in terms of job career advice, job coaching as our job coach going forward, Laverne Freeman?
Well, I can tell you this, that at the end of the year, as far as jobs are concerned, most companies are getting their budgets together. I was just at a meeting the other day where a lot of companies are talking about they'll be hiring and coming back for the first quarter of 2014. They'll definitely be hiring. They're getting their budgets together. They're seeing where their shortfalls are, and it's all positive. So I'd be saying, as far as your getting your monies or whatever together, I would say conserve yourself, check out your companies that you want to work for, and get out there, get your resume dusted off, get ready, because a lot of companies are looking to hire for the first quarter because, in fact, that they've been dormant for a while. So there are going to be some jobs. There are new buildings coming up. A lot of them are coming up, brand new buildings in South Boston. New businesses are opening, and they'll be looking for people. And that's what I heard on the horizon yesterday in this meeting in the financial district. So it looks good.
Great, that's great. It's also, 2014 is a midterm election year, so people are going to do things politically that may work out to your advantage. So I think you're correct. You can just, you know, be aware of what's taking place and how companies are positioning themselves for going forward. Give us your contact information, Laverne. It's always a pleasure to bring you back on as one of our Kitchen Cabinet members. Tell our listeners how they can reach you.
Okay, I'm at the Operation Able. I'm the job coach. My number here is 617-542-4180. My email is lfreeman@operationable.net.
Awesome. Laverne Freeman, you are fantastic. Happy Thanksgiving to you, and thank you so much for this great advice that you shared with our listeners today.
Thank you too, Carol. You have a wonderful holiday yourself.
All right,
thank you.
Bye-bye now.
Okay, bye-bye.
All right. Laverne Freeman is just a wonderful person and such great advice. Never really, and that, I'm so glad that I had her to mention about creating your own job, writing your own job description. We need to use our creativity more so that if you find yourself in these places that are kind of stuck, if there's an opportunity for you to create a new position or create maybe an auxiliary position or other job responsibilities that will help you along the way, that will really make sense. So we are just grateful to have Laverne on. We bring her back periodically as part of our Kitchen Cabinet team that we have. Now, the holidays are starting. They are already, the Christmas decorations and the Christmas advertisements started weeks ago. Thanksgiving is just sort of like a blur, and then we just go right into the holiday season with lots of beckoning calls to spend your dollars. I would hope that you would, at this point in time, before the craziness starts, and it already has started in some cases, just sit back and really assess, what do you want to get out of the holiday season? What do you want to accomplish during the holiday season? Are there some loved ones that you need to reach? Are there ways that you can provide services to others that can be used in lieu of gifts? What can you do to share the spirit of love and harmony and peace, regardless of what your religious belief happens to be? The whole holiday season is really based on that. But what can you do in a meaningful manner so that you can be positive and outgoing and a real service and a value to those? So I'm hoping that this will be a joyous holiday for each and every one of you. I'm hoping that you will have an opportunity to not overspend your budget, that you can somehow tuck the credit cards away as often as possible and spend cash. Trust me, I spend a lot in cash instead of credit cards. So I would encourage you to spend cash because you'll spend hopefully less money when you know it's being taken immediately out of your funds, your bank account, or whatever it happens. And don't forget the spirit of the holidays. Thanksgiving is joyous because we don't give gifts. I love Thanksgiving. But then we have this whole barrage of holidays. Christmas, obviously, Hanukkah, Kwanzaa, winter solstice for whoever you happen to be. But I'm hoping that the end of the year will bring the promise and the possibilities in your life, that you will have an opportunity to reflect, that you will have an opportunity to share whatever your skill sets happen to be, with those who are around you or those who are across the world. And we hope that this will be a joyous and meaningful season for each and every one of you, de-stressing yourself by being sane and calm about the decisions that you make and certainly the money that you spend throughout the holiday season. We'll give you that tip periodically between now and the end of the year. This is Carol Copeland-Thomas. We are so glad that you're with us today. Have a joyous Thanksgiving. We will be on the air next Thanksgiving, next Thursday, and we hope that this weekend or this week will really bring the possibilities into your life that you're looking for. Take care. We'll see you next week.